7 through 10 tonight, which is a passage that urges its audience to submit to God. That is the central thrust of these four verses in James. It is to submit to God. And for us to really understand the significance and the place that this passage plays in this letter overall, we need to remember some things about this letter. If you recall, this letter is written by James, the half-brother of Jesus and the head pastor of the Jerusalem church. And it was, and he was writing to his congregation that had been scattered due to persecution under Saul of Tarsus. Although they were no longer able to assemble at this time as an entire church, the elders of the Jerusalem church at that time, who were apostles, still desired to minister to their congregation. And so while Peter, as we learn from the book of Acts, and other apostles were going here and there among them all, James writes this letter, one that aims to encourage his congregants to look at all the sudden and harsh trials that have come upon them, not as obstacles, but as opportunities. Opportunities to show their living faith in Jesus for the glory of God on a daily basis. And James has been showing us what living faith looks like when it comes to the issues of trials and treasures and temptations and truth and the church, the tongue, and when it comes to times of decision and conflict. All of these are opportunities that are sent to us by God, that though they are unpleasant, they offer us chances to demonstrate the living genuineness of our faith in Jesus. And so James writes this letter as instructional encouragement to those in his church body who possess living faith. And yet, we need to remember that God's word is always a sharp and two-edged sword that can cut in both directions. I've seen that in my years of preaching. Sometimes I'll get done preaching, and the same message that will fill one individual with joy and hope will fill another individual with fear and doubt. And so the same word that can confirm a genuine Christian in his faith will also be the same word that convicts a false Christian in his unbelief. And that's exactly what's happening here in the book of James in the passage that we're going to look at tonight. James has been writing out all of these examples of what genuine, living, saving faith should look like on a daily basis. And while some individuals in his church were being encouraged by his instructions because they were seeing the evidence of living faith in their lives, some others in his congregation were feeling convicted. And so James writes this next passage to them, to the individuals that know that they are failing the test of living faith that James has been systematically laying out. He's writing to those who have failed the test of trials, that they're not showing evidence of dependent and tenacious faith in the midst of hardship. He's writing to those who have failed the test of temptations, the individuals that are giving into sin continually and are blaming others and spurning all personal responsibility for their actions. He is writing to those who are failing the test of truth, who are not listening to God's word and are just doing whatever they like with no concern for God's commands. He's writing to those who have failed the test of the church. He's writing to those who are not walking in purity and compassion and impartiality towards others, but rather are walking in pride and in callous favoritism towards the body of Christ. He's writing to the people that have failed the test of the tongue. He's writing to people who are unleashing unrest and corruption and filth everywhere they go by how they speak. He's writing to those who have failed the test of times of decisions, of people who are being selfish and jealous and bitter and proud and unreasonable. And he is writing to those who failed the test of times of conflict, individuals who are not working for the triumph of peace, but rather are warring against others and against their own conscience and against God himself for the sake of achieving their own selfish passions and perspectives. And so, while James' intention has been to encourage believers in living faith, he also knows that the result of several individuals are going to be under intense conviction because they're failing those tests. And so James identifies them in this passage in verses 7 through 10 of chapter 4, and he shows them that their ultimate problem is not with what they are doing, their ultimate problem is with who they are. They are those who have not submitted to God. They are those who have not taken a stand against the devil. They are those who are far away from God and need to be brought near. They are those who are unclean on the outside and the inside. They are those whom God calls sinners. They are those who are double-minded, trying to align themselves with God and the world at the same time. They are those who are laughing when they should be mourning and rejoicing when they should be in gloom. In short, James is identifying them in this passage for who they are, that despite whatever profession of faith they might be giving, the characteristic actions of their life are showing that they are unbelievers, that they're still unredeemed. And so James addresses them here in this passage, and he calls on them to repent. He gives a stirring invitation for them to submit to God. And as I was thinking about this, the passage in verses 7 through 10 is really organized somewhat like a little booklet. So I'd like you to picture that in your head tonight, that Pastor James has just handed you a little booklet on repentance. It's got a front cover, it's got a back cover, and it's got pages in between. And just like a normal book, the front and the back cover parallel each other by giving you an overview of the book, and the middle pages give you all the details. And that's exactly what we're going to see here in verses 7 through 10. In verse 7, we see the front cover and the title of this little booklet on repentance, Submit to God, right? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then in verses 7 through the end of verse 9, we have the middle chapters of this little booklet. That is the content that describes repentance in detail through three separate chapters. And then in verse 10, we see the back cover, which closes out the booklet nicely by summarizing the opening central theme of verse 7 by saying in conclusion, humble yourselves, therefore, before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So that's what we're going to start to take a look at tonight. We're going to look at Pastor James's booklet on repentance unto living faith. And we're going to start tonight just by looking at that front cover at the beginning of verse 7 of submitting yourselves, therefore, to God. And so with that in mind, please look on with me as I get to read our passage before us tonight from James 4. And I'm just going to start back in verse 1 for context on into verse 7. Or verse 10, excuse me. James writes, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scriptures say, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." This is the word of God, and we should thank him for it. So let's do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to look into your word just for a few brief moments this evening. Father, we pray that you would encourage us in your truth and help us to remember what the default posture of our heart ought to be towards you at all times. Father, we thank you that by your grace you bring us into this heart posture at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ by your grace. Father, I pray that as we have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so we would walk in him. And I pray that we would walk humbly before you and in submission to your will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, as we look at this booklet, briefly, the title that Pastor James has handed to us on repentance is Submit to God. The front cover is there at the beginning of verse 7, where he says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." This is the key exhortation that he is about to explore. It is to submit to God. This is what humble repentance looks like at a very basic level. See, whenever God shows you who you really are, when he reveals to you the sin that's in your life, and you are at last able to see yourself clearly within the mirror of God's word, then what are you to do in that moment? What does repentance at a very basic general level look like? It looks like submitting yourself to God. And so backing up to what James has said back in verse 6, if you want a walk with God that is characterized by his daily strengthening grace in your life, and even more fundamentally, if you want to stand in grace before God through faith in Christ Jesus, if you want God to be for you and not against you, then you must submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And that word submit in the Greek is a military term, one that we studied, if you remember, at length back when we were going through 1 Peter. It means to line yourself up under authority, just like soldiers line themselves up under their commanding general. At a human level, it's used in Scripture to describe placing oneself under the authority of your parents, or under husbands, or under employers and masters, or under government. It means to place oneself under the authority of someone else, to submit your will to the will of someone in authority over you. And the word submit here is not a passive word like giving in temporarily. Oh, I'm submitting myself to the Lord, right? It is an active word. It's like enlisting, like joining someone's ranks permanently. In other words, if you want to stand in grace and you want God's daily strengthening grace, then you have to consciously give your will completely over to the Lord. So if you want God's saving and strengthening grace, if you want God to be for you and not against you, ultimately the question is, do you want to be saved? Then the answer is, submit yourself to God. Come under His authority. Submit your will to His. We've got this crazy idea in American Christianity, right, that you can somehow make two decisions in the Christian life. I can come to Christ and receive Him as my Savior, and then someday I'll determine whether I want to receive Him as my Lord and Master. Well, James highly disagrees with you, right? He is saying that to come to Christ in faith at all is to submit your will to Him as Lord. This is what it means to be walking in God's grace. You must submit yourself to God and come under His authority. If He speaks, the question is, are you willing to obey? If He designs or alters your life, are you willing to follow that design? That's the path of walking by God's grace. You must humble yourself, enlist in the service of God, and give your allegiance to Him. You must obey His commands, which begins with believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, and you must follow His will. As Jesus will say powerfully in the Gospel of Luke later in our study, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Him. If you're not willing to do my will, Jesus warns, then you're not worthy to be my disciple. So do you want to be saved? And even after that, do you want to have a relationship with God that is marked by His daily strengthening grace? Then James says, submit yourselves to God. As you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in Him. Lay down everything before the sovereign will of God. This is fundamentally what repentance looks like. It is when you hear the word of God and you identify sin in your life, you don't speak against it. You submit yourself to it. This is how anyone comes to faith in Jesus Christ, is it not? You identify that you are a sinner by the grace of God, and what do? Do you rage against God's diagnosis of you being a sinner? No, by His grace, you submit to His statement over your life. You admit that you are a sinner. And in that, you stand in grace as you come to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, guess what? That is how we're supposed to walk every single day of our Christian lives. That when God confronts an area of our lives that is marked by sin, we don't just ignore it and move on by it. If you want God's daily strengthening grace every single day, then you submit your will to Him in repentance. So a good question to ask yourself looking at this is, are you willing to do whatever God commands? That's a question you need to ask yourself, even if you've been walking with the Lord for 40 years or more. Am I willing to do whatever God asks me to do? If He asks you to give up your dreams, your ambitions, your finances, your relations, are you going to say, like the rich young ruler, forget it, that's too much, I'm done? Or will you say with the man who found the pearl of great price, I'll do it. I'll gladly do whatever you ask me to do. I'll submit my whole life in love to you. You've got to lay it down. That is what repentance looks like. See, saving faith and true repentance and genuine humility begins with a willingness to submit to a new Lord and a new Master in humility, to break ranks with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to actively enlist yourself into the service of God. Just as Micah 6:8 says, he has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Do you want God's grace? Then submit to him. That's on the front cover. And this is how James opens up this little booklet on repentance with the deceptively simple command, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. But as we've seen tonight, there's nothing passive or casual about it. It's an element, it's a language of enlistment. Actively, it hinges on bending the knee and following him. So the first way that that shows itself up in our lives as Christians is, if I am repenting and submitting to my Lord's will, then that all begins by hearing it. Are you in submission to God? Are you listening to his word? Or has your personal time with the Lord and his word been laid aside? This is a reminder tonight that we need to return to God's word. And then secondly, as we're hearing God's word, am I still submitting to it? Am I still submitting my will to the Lord? The tests that James has been laying out throughout this letter aren't arbitrary. They're designed to reveal what's already true of a person's heart. And if you cannot or will not consistently submit to God in moments of trials or temptations or when it comes to the truth or how you speak and treat others or during times of decision and conflict, then the reality is you've not yet submitted yourself yet to God fundamentally from the inside out. But the good news that I want to finish with is that's embedded in this command is that God receives those who come. The same verse that warns that God opposes the proud also promises us that he does what? Gives grace to the humble, right? So the invitation is always real and it's always open. That even if we've been walking in rebellion and pride and sin, we can right now, tonight, repent of that sin. Repent of that pride. Repent of that callousness towards God. And we can submit to him and find in that moment that God is ever forgiving, that he is always for you, and he will always give you more grace. And so this is how you begin a life of repentant, of redeemed repentance before God, and this is how we continue it. It's by submitting ourselves daily, therefore, to God. And so may he give us more grace even as we humble himself before him tonight, before our time together. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word, and Father, I do pray that above all other instructions and commands that we find in your word, that we would not neglect this most pressing one that speaks to our heart, that we would submit ourselves to you. Father, we understand that at the root of ignoring your word and not receiving it with meekness, that at the root of finding temptation so strong, that at the root of wanting to prioritize one type of person over another, that at the root of all conflict and all anger and all bitterness, ultimately is pride. Pride in raising ourselves up against your revealed will. So, Father, I pray that if we have been walking in sin unrepentantly, I pray that tonight you, by your grace, would bring us back to this place of repentance and submission to you beneath your will. And we thank you, Father, for your promise that even now you are working in us who believe so that you give grace to those who are humble, that we might live a life that honors you and that demonstrates living faith for all to see. Help us to walk in this faith for others to see. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.